Stars Today is next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Handoff, Taylor running outside. He's got room, 25, turns inside, 20, on his feet, 15. Here he goes to the 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor. 25 yards, and the Jaguars are on the board. Mark takes the snap, drops to throw, pocket collapsing, sets up the screen. Taylor's got it with room. Taylor's at the 15, Taylor's at the 10. Taylor goes to the 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor. 16 yards on the screen pass, and the Jaguars take their first lead of the night, 13-10. Here's a handoff to Fred, running to the left, looking for room. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. That's 3 touchdowns tonight for Taylor, and the Jaguars lead 26-10. They're piling it on the Steelers here at Three Rivers Stadium. Mark under center, gives the ball to Fred, running to the left, cutting it back. He's at the 25, he's at the 20. Fred coming outside at the 15. Fred to the 10, 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor, his 4th touchdown of the night.
Wow, he's wearing out that corner of the end zone, that's for sure.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, good morning. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Tuesday's brought to you here on Jaguars Today by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and mini camp underway for about the last 10 minutes. We can't see an iota of it, and even if we could, we couldn't tell you. We could tell you we could see it. We just couldn't tell you what we see. You'll see for yourself this Thursday morning if you come on out to the only open to the public mini camp session, the final one before training camp rolls around. Same rules as the OTAs, Tony. Not supposed to be any contact out there. Bunch of guys running around. But if you are a fan of the football team who eats this stuff up, it's your only opportunity since the rookie minicamp. And, you know, I'm sure we'll have some opportunities out in training camp to do the same kind of thing. But if you need something to tide you over until early August, this is pretty much what you're going to get on Thursday.
This is it. This is it. It's the last time they'll be on the field until we get to training camp. So they get their couple months to leave town and go do whatever the heck they want while the heat remains miserable here in Jacksonville.
It's a hell of a life. What did I hear? High of 95 today?
Yeah, high of 95. I think they said heat index in the low 100s today.
Simmer.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's cooking out there. But hey, that's
this is the first really hot week.
It really is. But you know what? You live in Florida. You shouldn't be surprised when the temperatures get hot from time to time. Just think of how good we have it in early January, at least compared to a lot of the country as far as that goes. Saw Jurassic World last night, Tony.
Yeah.
Yep. It was not a sold out theater. I don't know. I don't think we get as much demand down in St. Augustine. Obviously, a lot fewer people down there. Of course, a lot fewer movie theaters and movie screens as well showing Jurassic World. But I would say mostly high school-aged kids last night in the theater, about half full, but took my wife and son to go see it. I thought it was good. I thought it was exactly what you would want from a fictional we created dinosaurs out of strands of DNA type movie, right? You got a bunch of dinosaurs running around, fighting each other, eating people.
Yeah.
And, you know, a few, I suppose, semi-interesting human interest subplots on the side.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to stand up under what that first one was. And the first one's so...
Because it had never been done.
Right, but it's so good. And the first one was based on a book that, as I've talked about before, look, it's one of my favorite books of all time, too.
Did you read the book before the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, I read the book before the movie. I read the second book before the movie, which is why I hate the Lost World movie as much as I do.
I probably read the second book at some point in time.
But that book is awesome. And to have that as kind of the backdrop for here's what we're going to do with the dinosaur movie, I mean, it was a perfect setup for a movie, and Steven Spielberg pulled it off in a perfect way, and you had animals reacting in very reactive way. I mean, it was instinct is what you saw in that first movie, and some people trying to survive it with paleontologists, and it was just a perfect setup for a movie, and it's hard to recreate that same kind of energy in any movie from there forward. And in this one, they've tried some inventive things with the training of the raptors and all this different stuff.
Star-Lord has spoken.
Right, which is what I'm saying. You just turn your brain off. It's ridiculous. At times you're sitting in the theater, you're like, oh, this is just absurd. What is happening right now? It's just absurd, but it's a fun ride. Like, if nothing else, it's a really fun ride as long as you just want to go in there for a summer popcorn movie.
Honestly, maybe the most absurd thing in a movie of obviously absurd subject matter was the fact, and I'm not spoiling anything here, the fact that the two young kids can get a Jeep that has been sitting in storage,
right.
Or not even in storage, just, you know, covered in mold and residue and rust, and get the thing started in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because they had worked on Grandpa's old car. Remember
right.
that time we redid Grandpa's old car?
That's convenient.
Yeah, sure, sure. I'm sure there were no electronic systems in that Jeep, you know, from the 1990s that wouldn't work anymore.
Right.
But hey, whatever.
There were some really thrilling moments in the movie. I mean,
it was good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun ride. It's not the smartest ride you'll take this summer, but it's a fun ride.
I don't know, you know, what's it supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, The Imitation Game or something like that.
No, but know? Jurassic Park was smart.
Well,
movie was smart, and this movie is not that. That doesn't take anything away. It's a fun movie.
I don't know if it's any less smart, or it's just that we're used to it. We've seen it 3 times before. We know all the ins and outs. They don't spend 30 minutes explaining the process of splicing dinosaur DNA with frogs and all that stuff. You know
no.
what I mean? It was all new the first time around.
I guess.
Whatever. It was good. Hey, I liked it. Go see it, especially if you got kids. Go see it.
Oh, heck yeah.
My son was all into it last night.
I'm sure he was.
He gave it a 10 out of 10, but he gives a lot of things 10 out of 10.
You taking him to see Inside Out?
What's Inside Out?
Inside Out's the new Pixar movie with all the emotions in the little girl's head.
I don't know if I've even seen a preview for this.
Really?
No.
It's like at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Comes out this weekend.
No, I've not even heard of this movie.
Yeah, it's the new Pixar movie.
Mm.
I'm pretty excited about it. Honestly.
Are you?
I really am. I love Pixar and what they've done. All the Toy Story movies and Up. And
I really don't know. If, like, they put out a new Toy Story movie, we'd probably go see it. I wonder, like, Colin used to, that was it. That mm-hmm. was the peak. You know, you hit the kids at the right age with the right movie, and it's like, wow, that's amazing. Let's go see that 10 times, or let's rent that and watch it every day.
Well, I know he loved the Cars.
Oh yeah, you love Cars, but I'm saying, like, if Cars 3 came out, I literally don't know if he would even care about seeing it anymore. We saw Cars 2 just because you felt like you had to, but and it was okay. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I hear you.
I don't know. I think the big dinosaurs have more appeal to him now than the Pixar stuff. But who knows?
Dinosaurs are cool.
You know, we may kill an afternoon watching a Pixar movie before it's all said and done as well. Today, fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Could be an interesting one, I think. The explosion of social media out there, a lot of athletes obviously involved in it. You see the story, the St. Louis Rams are putting their players through social media training, which seems a little much. They put their draft picks through financial training seminars before their signing them to contracts. Like, they agree to terms and they say, okay, you're going to take this class, you're going to take these, you know, these lessons so you don't blow all your money before you sign the paper.
That makes
now,
sense.
Here's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Now let's teach you how to be responsible with this money. And so now they've hired a group called Social Media Sports Management to train players, how to not make major faux pas on Twitter and Facebook and the like and Instagram and all that stuff out there. How hard is this?
That's a shame.
Do you need a company? I mean, what a scam company this is. I'm going to teach people how to get water out of their faucet, Tony.
Yeah.
The proper way to do it. Make sure when you turn it off, you push it all the way down so it doesn't drip.
Right.
And you're not wasting any. I mean, really. Here's
That's
what
a
you
shame.
Do.
I like it when athletes make fools of themselves on Twitter.
Well, look, they're going to do it anyway. We know they're going to do it anyway. But how hard is this just to say, okay, let me not say something stupid publicly. I think people sometimes either alcohol or something else is involved, and if it's not, I swear I think people think they say things on there, and it's just amongst the little people that are following them, or that it doesn't really count, or I don't know what it is, but people say stuff that I don't think they would say, certainly in a press conference situation. You know, you get those internet muscles on from time to time, but even dumber stuff like that, just reacting to things that I think they'd be a little bit more circumspect about speaking in public. I don't know, boy, what a scam that company's got going for them. but as long as there are people out there doing dumb things on social media, I suppose
sure.
there's some kind of need for it. What do you, social media wise, I do the Twitter, and I really only do it in conjunction, for the most part, I do it in conjunction with the show. Or whatever radio shows I happen to be doing on here or on Sirius. occasionally I'll throw, you know, a couple of in-game tweets out there. Once in a while, I get a wild hair and like a live tweet an event, you know, involving the Jags, like the draft or something like that. But, you know, everyone else is doing the same thing. It's kind of fun to do that. And I use Facebook. And again, I use it mostly. I use the Jaguars Today page strictly for the show. I use my personal one more to have the pages to use for the show than anything else and, semi stay in contact with people. But I'll be honest with you. I could do away with almost every family member and their posts that's in my timeline, never mind the people I don't know. There are a bunch of stuff. I told you stuff my sister was posting there today. I don't want to see it. I don't need to see it. Just get it out of my face. And, you know, you log in and something's going to be right there. And generally it's nothing I'm interested in, yet I use it. I dabble with the Facebook. That's about it for me for social media.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously do Twitter during the show, and I probably live tweet more stuff than you do, probably, because like I'll be on there if like USA Soccer's on. I'm on throughout the game talking about whatever.
All the
I'm
practice
seeing.
Games and such.
Well, we got two wins.
I know.
Netherlands and Germany was big last
two
week.
Exhibition wins.
But
excellent.
You know, I'll live tweet that kind of stuff more often. And honestly, I'm on there a lot about whatever movies I am seeing and going back and forth with some of the listeners I know that are interested in that kind of thing. And I have my own Facebook page on there, but I'm not on it often enough. I should be on it more than I am, but my own personal Facebook page is just linked to my Twitter. Like, it's just whatever I tweet shows up on my Facebook page, so I virtually never go to, like, my personal Facebook page. Occasionally I'll go to my show Facebook page to do something, but my personal Facebook page is just whatever I'm putting on
Twitter. Yeah, mine's a reverse. Whatever I put on Facebook, I tweet out automatically, because that's mostly what I'm putting on there,
which
show
I'm sure
related stuff.
You talk about like people who probably get annoyed with me, like during a live sporting event, they're probably sick of me on Facebook
because you're there constantly.
If I'm showing up on their timeline, it's going to be 15 tweets
right
in that hour, and they're going to be like, "What? Why? Why?"
I always felt simple solution: don't follow. Right? I mean, yeah. Honestly, to me, I think Facebook, the greatest thing Facebook gives me is free lives and Candy Crush. That's really what it gets you. All right. I mean, yeah, if you got a nice little tight circle of friends playing Candy Crush, we always give each other free lives.
Right.
That's the main thing that I look for out of my Facebook page, other than connecting with the show. It's fun for the show. I like that stuff. Outside of work, I don't use it a whole lot. But today we ask you, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question today: which athletes? You can name more than one, and you can tell us why if you have the space to do it, depending on how you're responding. Via Facebook, Twitter, or something else. Which athletes do you follow on social media? Which social media platforms do you follow them on? Who's got the goods out there? Who's got the interesting stuff that keeps you coming back for more? I follow several athletes, but I don't even use Twitter that way in my timeline. I don't read my timeline that much. I read my connections or the tweets that reference me directly, and that's a way to have a conversation with people. That's how I use it. Mm-hmm. I don't even consider some of this stuff like LinkedIn. I guess that's technically social media. To me, that's like business networking as far as that goes. But tell us who you follow, athletes or sports figures, however it is, coaches, what have you, owners, management, whatever the case may be. Who are the must-follows for you on what social media platforms? You can share your thoughts with us today at MD_1010XL on Twitter. Hello, on social media, at 1010XL Fat Tony and at 1010XL Tyler. You can call the program at 641-1010 as always, and also that doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, 641-1010. Johnny O, John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com, joins us in a couple of minutes live off the practice field as minicamp is underway for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Final 3 days on the practice field until training camp comes up. Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Got a lot to get into today and not a lot of time to do it, so let's hit the ground running. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Jaguars Today, live at Everbank, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and frequent sage of the program, John Osier.
Met Kenny Lay last week.
Did you meet him last week? Hope everything's all right in your marriage.
I met him at the Jaguars golf tournament.
Yeah.
Got a business card just in case.
You never know.
You never know.
Hey, honey, you just leave that laying on the table.
It's a good one to have in the wallet.
Right? That's kind of like a shot across the bow.
I just, you know, I believe in being prepared for everything.
Get off my back about the lawn, honey.
Right.
Okay, I'm just going to drop this card right here. I'm just going to leave this here.
And I wanted to ask him, look, I get men only, but maybe once in a while tax law. No, men only.
No.
No.
That's what they do. And they're very good at it. They specialize.
Really, really nice guy. Really nice people he was with.
Super nice guy. Yeah. Johnny O, you're a super nice guy. The senior writer for Jaguars.com. Yes, you are.
It's all an act.
You have a little bit of snark to you, but it's such good-natured snark. It's not.
I'm not a good guy. That's why I keep that card in my wallet.
Well, maybe you're not a good guy. If you're not a good guy, you've done a terrific job playing the role of sociopath, as you've convinced us all that you are something that you're not.
That's fine. I'm a well-mannered fraud.
You have cold, lifeless eyes. You are a well-mannered fraud. You're a well-mannered, respectable journalist is what you are, and an all-around good guy. Everybody says so. So, minicamp, final 3 days out there. Are you happy to be inside at the moment?
Yeah, because it's about as warm. I mean, it's always warm during OTAs. I mean, but it's warm. It's gonna be a challenge. I'll get through it. I'll make it. But it would not be a pleasant week on the field.
What, if any, difference will we see other than the presence of Chris Clements, who we'll get to here in a minute? What, if any, difference will we see compared to what we've seen for the last 3 weeks from OTAs?
Well, the difference being on Thursday, the fans will get to see it.
Sure.
Which, you know, as I was writing it this last week, I thought, you know, we've seen on the field, we've seen Julius Thomas, we've reported it. So to people who have been out there, it feels very normal to see Julius Thomas and to see Jared out. But they weren't at the rookie camp. So Thursday will be the first chance for people to see him, which is really cool. So there's that. There's the fact that it's mandatory. Beyond that, the rules are pretty much the same. You know, you can have 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 11-on-11 without contact. So we won't see much different. I expect there to be a little more intensity. I expect there to be, from what Doug Marrone said, they'll move some offensive linemen around a little bit. But in terms of what you see on the field, not a huge difference.
Obviously, the big difference is it's mandatory, right, as opposed to voluntary. And there are certain penalties you can incur if you don't show up for them. Hence, Chris Clements came into town yesterday. And I don't think anybody's shocked at it. I mean, I know Gus would have liked to have seen him earlier. I don't think they can be all that surprised based on his track record. And, look, quite frankly, I've always defended players because they did get what I feel is a very owner-friendly CBA. And I always point out that they agreed to it whenever they bring up an aspect of it they don't like, whether it's the franchise tag or something else. Well, this is one thing that they bargained for as well, the right to not have to show up except for X amount of times.
They're at their core independent contractors. If they show up out of shape, if they're not prepared, if they're not doing the right thing, eventually they'll be out of the league because of it. So the system is in place to where if you need to be here and you're a veteran and you need this to prepare and be good during the regular season, then you're going to be here. If not, if this sort of thing, if not being here hurts you, it's going to eventually whittle you out of the league. So it's a performance-based industry. If Chris Clements doesn't perform, then this will hurt him. I don't think this will influence him either way come September 13th.
I don't either. I think he's very likely to make the football team unless he shows that he's really lost a step in training camp.
And I got questions, we may have addressed it, about, well, what does this say about a team leader not being? Chris isn't a team leader. That's not his role.
Just because he's a veteran in an age.
Right. And I don't say that as a negative. Not everybody's a team leader. I think if he sought that role, then I do think he would probably be here. But he is a guy who is paid to get sacks. He's an important part of the defense. He's critical to this. You need guys like that. If this was the quarterback, it'd be a big deal. Peyton Manning, the entire time I was in Indy, never missed an OTA practice, never missed an offseason. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for a quarterback. Blake was here every day. Blake's progress is very important. Receivers working with Blake really matters. A defensive end, a pass rusher, a veteran who's probably only got so many snaps left in his body to be out there, I don't have a problem with him not being here.
Tony and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Mike DiRocco had gotten a question in one of his mailbags that basically asked which of these milestones are likely to happen. You probably saw it. 1,000-yard rusher.
No, probably not.
Probably not, because it's D-Rock, right? 1,000-yard rusher, 1,000-yard receiver, somebody with 5 interceptions, or someone with 10 sacks. And he detailed, like, the last time each had happened in franchise history, which pretty depressing that Jimmy and Keenan are still the only ones who've had 1,000 yards as a receiver. But if I were to tell you that there would be a defensive player with 10 or more sacks this year, is Clemens that guy, or do you think Ryan Davis or Andre Branch or somebody else is most likely to fill that role?
I think they'll have a hard time getting that number, but I think it'll be similar to what they had last year, which was a bunch of guys, six, seven, eight.
Yeah.
I think Fowler was the guy who people thought had a chance to get that because the thought was he would come in very ready for that role and maybe need to develop some other things. I guess Clemens would be the favorite. I'd be surprised if he surpasses 8.5. Eight he had last year. It would be surprising at his age if he upped that number. On the other hand, if the line is playing well around him, if the line is playing well as a whole, then you can have one guy sort of surprise you and jump out and get a big number because then they're not able to double team anybody. And then you can have some circumstances at the end of games where you're in position to get multiple sacks like Chris did, I think, against Indy last year. So you can have that. I doubt they'll have a guy that you think of as a double-digit sack guy, meaning that guy who you have to game plan for. But maybe he could get the number.
Yeah, I agree. That Tony and I said probably if they piece it together, it's similar to last year in terms of the totals, whether they shift amongst players.
And some of that is if you're relying a little bit on pressure from the defensive tackle position, which last year that was a big part of it. A defensive tackle is usually not going to get double-digit sacks. But in the case of Sindarik and even Ryan Davis, who rushed from the inside, they got pressure from the interior, got some numbers, very good numbers for the interior, which helped their sack number as a whole.
And what it also does is when you're getting pressure up the middle, which is the quickest route to the quarterback, you're going to get guys freed up for more one-on-one blocking on the outside as well. So
I mean, I think it sort of stands to reason, the double-digit sack question. You know, last year, everybody knows what the pass rush was. It was a group effort like we thought. Well, the reason they went out and got Dante Fowler is they didn't have a double-digit sack guy. Well, now he's not available, so logic says that he's supposed to be your double-digit sack guy, so it's going to be tough to get it without him on the field.
What, if anything, are you looking for yourself, having observed all these? Okay, but that you haven't seen for the last few weeks, I assume.
I've seen that,
because you're not looking like a lobster, so I assume you've been taking good care of yourself out there. What new thing are you looking for, if anything, this week? Or is this just, let's not make too much of it just because it happens to be the last three practices?
Well, it'll sort of be the first time. Julius Thomas was out a couple of practices last week when Allen Robinson really got back to where he was taking what you would think will be Allen Robinson number reps. And Allen Robinson, as everybody knows, even though you're not supposed to report OTAs, looked very, very good, especially in red zone. So it'll be the first chance for those two guys to be on the field together with Blake. I think it'll be just a chance to look at what is starting to become some identity players on the offense. T.J. Yeldon on the field at the same time as Julius Thomas, as Allen Robinson. Really the only guy missing is Marquise Lee out of that equation, so you've got Allen Hurns. You know, I think it'll be a chance to sort of start seeing what the identity of at least the skill players will be. All of a sudden, after OTAs, you have a really good feeling about a tight end and a very, very big physical wide receiver, which I think is the first time that people have really had that good feeling about those two spots in a long time.
For folks who don't know, you guys out there, the writers, all right, actually do a little bit of work during the stretching portion because you keep track of roll call, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at you with a blank look.
Who's showing up? Right, I understand work. Tony and I just go out there and it's social time.
Right.
It's my I call it face to Facebook where I get to get out there and say hello to people. You guys keep track of, is anybody not showing up? Is anybody not practicing? Marquise Lee, I assume, still not on the practice field this week. Is he doing anything, or is he standing in street clothes on the side?
He has a jersey on. He's what they call working on the side. So is Clay Harbor. It's a chance to rehab outside, so to speak, more than anything. Other than that, Chris Clemens here. It appears, and it's hard to say, but the indication you got last week was that Julius Thomas had a good chance to go, whatever full is this time of year, but to be out there participating. I know Allen Robinson. There were guys they wanted to keep out. Devon House was another guy that they wanted to have them available for sort of this last two or three days of the off season to kind of, I guess, raise the intensity a little bit, whatever that means during a non-padded practice.
Yeah, give you as close to a simulation in a non-padded practice as, like
right.
you said, with the full complement of talent on the field.
Right.
Give us the best look that we can get in June, obviously.
And I will have a chance to talk more about this week, and goodness knows in the next few weeks once this is over with.
Are we going to repeat this conversation for at least the next month? Every
I hope
day.
So.
I think edge of your seat kind of stuff.
So, right but it seems like coming out of OTAs from somebody who's close to me, I don't know how the people who are just sort of following it feel, but all of a sudden you've got Telvin Smith and Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas and Jaron Otter, who you feel good about. That's four guys who this time last year either weren't on the team or you didn't feel that great about. So it seems like suddenly there's a good feeling, a solid feeling about a lot more guys on this roster than maybe you had last year. And I don't know how to quantify that, but that seems like progress, and I think that should be the theme going into training camp when fans come out and watch is, hey, look at these guys who really look like solid, solid NFL players all of a sudden and see where this roster is going. What's it going to mean for the regular season? I don't know. But I certainly have a better feeling about a lot of spots than I did this time last year.
All right, our question of the day today, we're asking folks what ways they use social media to interact with athletes and stuff like that. Being a reporter, obviously you have to, I would assume you follow as many of the Jags as you're aware of that have Twitter accounts or whatever, because you never know when information's going to come out that way, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
Well, and if you follow Andre Branch, you never know when you're going to get some insights into life, which
is
awesome.
This is true, yeah, which is nice. I still follow Mike Sims-Walker to see what club he's hanging out at this weekend, because he's big fan of telling you exactly
I do
where
love
he's going.
The athletes. God bless him. I love the guys who sort of tweet the daily life lessons. And as a 48-year-old guy who's nearing the end.
That's what you're looking for a 26-year-old?
I just love it.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Coming right at you.
But,
Hashtag on the grind.
Right.
Rise
but
and grind.
It's heartfelt and it's great. And I do enjoy following.
Are there who besides athletes, who's your favorite, if you have one, who's your favorite follow from the world of sports? Whether it's Twitter or any other social media platform.
You know, I follow so many that I guess it's hard to pinpoint one. I follow, I would say, a lot of NFL guys, and then I have like a national media on my tweet deck. So none really stand out.
Ursay's fun to follow.
Yeah.
He'd be fun, honestly, from the standpoint of if you're into social media and he were the owner of the team that you root for, he's always giving away cash. You know what I mean? Like $100 to the person. He's always interacting directly. If Shad Khan were on Twitter, Ursay is, I think fans would go crazy for it. He's a Colts owner. They're not going to love him around here. Understandable. But
Shad would be a terrific follow. Jim's a little out there. He is a little out,
but that's what makes him fun to follow.
I've separated from the Colts, and I try not to have too many comments on the owner or the team.
Understood. So. All right, Johnny O, go out there, slather on that sunscreen.
I'll be slathering.
Slather it up, buddy, and we'll see you out there. We'll see you in here tomorrow. We'll see you out there on Thursday. How about that?
All right, guys, thanks as always.
Thank you, buddy. John Osier, everybody. He is on Twitter. Everybody follows him. Johnny O on Twitter. Brian L. Jones at CobaltBlue22 tweeting, among his favorite athletes to follow, you said Fat Tony, of course. Oh, wait, you said athlete. Okay, I'll go with John Osier. See? See how he did you, Tony? That was a compliment to the ozone and a
dark
slap.
Dark day for Tony.
Fat Tony. It is a dark day for Fat Tony. All right, there he goes, Johnny O. Check him out at Jaguars.com. All right, coming up, we'll go around the National Football League. Take your calls at 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board, check the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as well. Some interesting stories going on out there. Question of the day, which athletes do you follow? Which ones are your favorite ones to follow on social media and on what platforms? You can weigh in on a variety of platforms yourself on that. The Jaguars Today Facebook page, the Twitter handles, the text line, and, of course, on the phones at 641-1010. Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Tuesdays on Jaguars Today brought to you by Kenny Lay and Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Tyler Devitt producing. Tony, we get in this morning, we're greeted by Tyler saying, how about them Blackhawks? Hey, doesn't Indiana have their own sports teams? Apparently not. Do they glom on to Chicago teams?
I don't think they have a hockey team, do
they? I don't think they do. They, what do they have? They have the Pacers, they have the Colts.
That's it.
You got.
That's all they got.
That's a lot. That's two. They're a tiny little state. They're a tiny little insignificant state.
And I'm from the northwest corner of that state, about 40 minutes from Chicago.
No one knows what that means.
So that's like being from Tallahassee and rooting for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I guess right? That comparison's not even close at all, but.
Why? That they're from the northwest portion of Florida, and Alabama is right there abutting the panhandle.
How far of a drive is it from Tallahassee to Tuscaloosa?
I don't know. I'm not making that drive.
It's different
very
if
often.
You're talking about pulling for a college team from another state. If you're living
chops,
in
man.
A city where they have a team, it would like.
Well, I am at the moment. I am neutral on the Chicago Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup. I don't really care.
I know where you stand on this whole thing.
Well, I know Beef likes them.
You
okay?
Usually like to have the most people around you unhappy as possible.
Correct. I know Beef likes the Blackhawks.
You're a bad dude.
I am a bad person. Beef likes them, but I don't dislike Beef enough to root against them. You know what I mean? And I don't really dislike Tyler that much.
Well,
so
what if Hacker was a Blackhawks fan? Would you root against the Blackhawks in that case?
See, that might be a different. If you were a Blackhawks fan, you know what would happen? We would have heard him recite a list of the names of the Blackhawks players at least six deep every day for the last 2 weeks and declaring his undying love for the Blackhawks.
He would know how to pronounce Patrick Taves or whatever his name is. Taves, spelled Toews.
T-O-E-W-S.
Yeah, that yes. is not Taves, my friend.
Yeah.
That is not how that word is
all
spoken.
The good thing about the Stanley Cup playoffs is, A, they're over, and two...
Why do you care that they're over? You weren't even paying attention.
They're cluttering up my sports center. Just get out of here.
Cluttering up my sports center. Wow.
I just want to get down
stretching.
To honestly, you know what my big problem is? And everyone right now is raising their hand. Yes, we do. And there are probably 17 different valid responses to that. But one of my bigger problems on this particular issue is I don't get the ESPN News channel anymore. ESPN News used to be the best, Tony. Mm-hmm. It was, when it came out, it was the greatest thing. Because it was SportsCenter without all the BS. Don't give me the sob story. I don't want to hear the sob story. I don't want to hear the behind-the-scenes five-minute piece about why we should care about this Division III athlete. Don't want to hear it. Not on sport. I want my scores, and I want them stacked up so hockey's the end. Okay? So, and that's pretty much how I would take in a lot of ESPN News, and you'd have to watch 20 minutes because hockey would be the last 10. It was fantastic. And you get everything, all your scores.
Yeah, because they don't carry hockey.
No.
So they push it to the back.
Yes. Exactly. And that's a good way to do it. I feel. But, other than it being over with, the good thing is we don't have to have any more of Hacker telling us how a diehard a Lightning fan is. He is by listing several names of players on the roster.
Yeah, he asked if it was okay for him to jump on the bandwagon. Whatever, dude. I don't care if you want to jump on the bandwagon.
It's never okay to jump on the bandwagon.
It doesn't bother me at all.
It drives me crazy because he's been on like 16 different bandwagons since I've known him. I guess that's how it goes with bandwagon jumping. So I'm sure he's crushed today because he's got such an emotional investment in the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I'm sure
that's how that goes. So I'm very, very okay with it being done as far as that goes. As far as the NBA Finals, they could be done too. I mean, I'd like to get a Game 7.
Cluttering your sports center.
Give me one more viewing option. Yes, cluttering my sports center, Tony. It was great. You know, when the Yankees were really good, like in the late 90s, they'd lead sports center. I would only have to watch 5 minutes. And I'd be done. I'd be all set. It was fantastic. Now, there's not a whole lot of reason to watch in midsummer. You know, watch all those NFL programs in the mid-afternoon. That's what's really going to get me caught up on what I care about as we while away the time for training camp to begin once again. Talking to Johnny O about what he's looking forward to seeing at minicamp. It's tough for us to say. We're not really going to see minicamp, are we? We're going to be inside while they're broiling out in the sun, just like we've been for OTAs because of the schedule the last couple of days. We'll be out there doing the show on Thursday, but where we're located, It's kind of tough to, you know, yeah. We're kind of towards the back of the bleachers there.
We can see a little bit when they're in the middle of the field.
Yeah, might get a glimpse here and there. So there's really nothing I'm going to say I want to go out there and see this because we're not going to get the opportunity to see that. I'd like to have certain results become apparent. I'd like Blake Bortles because that's where it begins and ends, really. Maybe it doesn't end there, but it goes pretty deep with Blake in terms of the importance of this football team this year. I'd like to have glowing reports for the next 3 days about Blake's accuracy, his mechanics, how they're holding up, and his rapport with the receivers, his timing with the receivers, all that good stuff. That's number one. It's got to be number one, right?
Absolutely. I mean, look, it's the quarterback. It's a guy they drafted as highly as they did. They are expecting big things out of him coming from year one to year two and all the stuff that he's worked on. In this offseason, I'm not sure how good Blake Bortles is ever going to be in practice. And I know Prisco talked about this last week when he was in studio with us. And I tend to agree with him. I don't know how much of a practice player Blake Bortles is ever going to be. And that's okay as long as it shows up when the lights come on for a guy like that. I think when you talk to people who have had the chance to go out there and cover Jaguars OTAs and as minicamp gets started today, that they think Blake looks better than he did last year. At this time, and he should. He's had an entire year of playing football in the NFL experience and an offseason where he's been working on mechanics. He better look better than
right.
he did.
Right, that's not even a good thing. Right. That's just a baseline thing that
right.
you had to have happen.
But he looks better than he did at this point last year, and from all the reports that we're getting, he's looked pretty good out there. He had one day where we've had media and coaches and everybody talking about Blake really didn't have a good day. And that was last Monday.
Yep.
And he came back on Tuesday and had a really good day of practice. And I think that's a good sign for Blake Bortles as well. But he is where it begins and ends as far as his team taking that big step forward is how big of a step does Blake Bortles take? Because that entire offense can be elevated by whatever step he takes going into his second year.
I think for fans coming out on Thursday, Blake throwing, as John alluded to, with Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas on the field at the same time, TJ Yeldon, you start to kind of get the sense of what that offense is going to look like skill position-wise. For me, I'll go beyond the skill positions, and this is something that we're not going to see really until training camp, but maybe the player outside of pass catchers, because it's always fun to watch a ball. Let's be honest, right? I mean, you know, that's the thing that draws your eye. Ball's in the air.
Sure.
Is guy going to make a great play on a defensive back going to break it up? What's going to happen? I want to see Jeremy Parnell. I really do, because I want to see him when in a setting that allows him to be physical, in contact practices, preseason games, and see if he's bringing that temperament that we think he's going to bring, that nastiness, for lack of a better term, to that side of the offensive line, and just start to get a mental picture of how good that Linder-Parnell combination on the right side can be.
Yeah, it's tough to tell anything, like you said, at this point in the offseason. When we get to camp and those pads come on for the first time, I think you'll get a real good idea of how physical a guy Parnell can be. I know for me, look, when the first team offense is on the field, I'm watching the ball. I'm watching whatever Bortles is doing, and wherever the ball ends up, that's what I'm watching. When they start giving the reps to the other guys, then I start trying to watch individuals on the field, right? And that's when I'll, instead of watching the ball, I'll watch Nick Marshall or I'll watch Rashad Green, because those are the opportunities for those types of guys to get reps. And I pay attention to some degree to, you know, how they're lining up. And with James Sample out, it becomes a little bit less interesting where they're lining guys up in that defensive backfield. I think it would have been interesting to see what they did with Sample, because I know at least out at the rookie minicamp, he was lining up at free and strong safety. What were they using him at in the OTAs? What were they going to use him at in minicamp getting ready for training camp? Well, now we don't get to find out until we get to the regular season. We know that they plan to use him as a free safety. What does he look like back there? We don't know. And we're not going to get the opportunity to find out, unfortunately, until the real games that matter start happening, which is unfortunate for this football team at this point.
641-1010, the phone number. Let's get one in quick before we take a break here at the top or towards the top of the hour. Isaiah up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Isaiah.
Hello, guys.
What's up?
I have two things. One, with the defensive line question, do you think Jared Codger to be the breakout player this year for the defense? The other one is, how do you guys think the cornerbacks are going to play out? I don't know how good Nick Marshall has looked. Have you guys seen any of it yet?
All right, thank you, Isaiah. Oh, A, we haven't seen anything because we're inside during OTAs.
And I haven't heard much talk about Nick
Marshall.
Right,
Nick Marshall's impact, I think, would come on special teams more. He would be deep in the rotation. If he made the active roster, he'd be like your fifth corner.
Yep.
Right, so you're not even with that, you don't want to see him on the field too often in those types of situations. I think they're very happy with the cornerback group, though, with Colvin and McCray and House and Grotz back there. I think they feel like they've got a lot of talent and a lot of potential still to be unlocked in that group. And I think the breakout players are more likely to come from guys in the, like, last year's rookie class, guys like Colvin and Telvin Smith. I think Telvin Smith could be fantastic this year. Odrick's like the kind of guy, Tony, hasn't been historically, that's put up big stats. He's not playing a big stat position either. And typically when you think of a breakout player, maybe the coaches will love him in the sense that, like, Brandon Linder may have been a breakout player as a rookie, but what are the stats to back it up, right? I mean, I guess you could look at average yards per rush and things like that when they run to his side. But Odrick's going to play a position where a lot of his work is going to be done holding the point of attack and holding up a couple of guys and allowing other guys to make plays.
Statistically for Odrick, and maybe he just fits really well into that left defensive end spot for this particular defense and can create something that he wasn't given the opportunity to create during his time down in Miami. But when you look at that defensive line in Miami, they had an alpha dog. I mean, they had Cameron Wake. That guy has been a dominant pass rusher in the National Football League for the past handful of years. So he's leaving a team that had that guy that everybody had to pay attention to on every snap. Where is Wake? On every single snap that he was on the field, they don't have that here in Jacksonville. Now, maybe he fits better in the scheme than he did down there in Miami, but I don't expect Jared Odrick's stats to take some significant leap up. I think he's going to be a solid player for his team at that left defensive end spot. He's going to be a run stuffer, which is what they brought him in to be.
He's going to be a guy that you're going to have to rely on the coaches and them watching the film telling you how he played more than the numbers are going to tell you by themselves.
Right.
Coming up next, we've got this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL, plus an update in from Bold City Cap on the Tampa excursion in Week 5 for the Bold City Brigade invading Raymond James with the Jacksonville Jaguars heading down to sort of South Florida. Souther, more southern Florida than we are right here. I think in Indiana they root for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well, is how they do that. They spread their wings like that. All right, coming back with all those things and more, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com, our Tuesday sponsor of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Maybe the weakest day in football history of all time could possibly be June 16th. This date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Tony, this is practically embarrassing how bad this day is. Here's your one birthday for today of note. 1947. I'll give you a former Southern Cal defensive player, defensive lineman, played with a multitude of teams in the NFL. Never in Denver, although you might think he'd be a Bronco fan. Al Cowling's born on this date, Tony, in 1947. Friend of OJ, went to college together, played together in Buffalo, and part-time driver of OJ Simpson at least 20-some-odd years ago from this point in time. Al Cowling's born on this date. Today, you say, would have been Tupac Shakur's 44th birthday. 44th, right?
44, yeah.
I just recently read on the site Black Bag, which is an offshoot of Gawker Media. You can go to blackbag.gawker.com if you're into the conspiracy theories, which I tend to be from time to time. They're fun to read about. There's a story entitled Tupac is Alive and Probably Living in Cuba, A Conspiracy Explained. So, hey, you never know with these guys anymore. I'm pretty sure he's shuffled off this mortal coil, but happy birthday just in case to Tupac Shakur. That's all I got for you, Tony. This date in football history is brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Repairs, re-roofs, call today for a free estimate, 287-7756. You can get a roof for as little as $500. First Coast Roofing specializes in roofs damaged by wind or hail, and they'll assist and work with you to file your homeowner's claim with the insurance company. That's 287-7756 for First Coast Roofing. License number CCC056797. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The St. Louis Rams and quarterback Nick Foles are reportedly discussing a long-term extension. The Rams traded for Foles by sending Sam Bradford and his bloated contract to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for the much more manageable contract of Foles at just $1.5 million for the 2015 season. But this is the last year of Foles' contract. The Rams could let the season play out and use the franchise tag on him next offseason, or they could sign Foles to that long-term deal, which is something that is at least being discussed between the two sides now. The Tennessee Titans, division rival of your Jags, are releasing running back Sean Green, saying don't bother showing up for the mandatory minicamp this week after he skipped the voluntary OTAs, and a potential new twist in the Aaron Hernandez saga. Hernandez's attorney is raising concerns that a member of the jury may have had prior knowledge of Hernandez's alleged involvement in the double murder that he's supposed to be tried for later this year, that the anonymous juror has expressed his desire to be a part of a Hernandez panel. That, of course, according to an anonymous phone call that he got from somebody watching the press conference after the trial, it ended saying they recognized one of the jurors as someone that they had heard had a conversation about that double murder and expressing an interest in being a part of this jury. Hernandez's lawyer says that he was tipped off by that caller of the potential juror problem. If true, this could establish grounds for the guilty verdict in that trial to be overturned. So we'll see where this story goes.
He'll be a free man, Tony. Aaron Hernandez, I doubt that.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt Aaron Hernandez will, put it this way, for decades ever see another day as a completely free man. Even if he had it overturned, he's got another trial that begins in December on the double murder, and they would just refile charges against him and panel a new jury, and likely, I would think, get the same result.
I would think, yeah.
You know, first-degree murder conviction. But who knows? Oh, look, the American justice system has its checks and balances in there, so, you know, we don't convict innocent people of crimes, right? And that's the expression you always hear, better to let however many guilty people go rather than convict one innocent person, right? So
mm-hmm.
I guess if I were in Aaron Hernandez's position and his advocate, I would fight for the same technicalities or whatever. It's not even a technicality if the juror shouldn't have been on there. Fine. Re-impanel a jury and have at it and waste some more of that Massachusetts taxpayer money. It's not mine. And he will likely end up right where he is. But I would think for Aaron Hernandez, it's better than just going into the cell and sitting there for 23 hours a day. I don't know what his situation is. I don't know if he's in some kind of administrative segregation or
no
what.
Idea.
Or
yeah.
If he's in the yard with all the hardened criminals, Tony. I don't know. I don't really care because, again, I'm not going in there with him. I'm never going to see the guy. Doesn't matter to me one way or the other as far as that goes. But wouldn't be shocked. You know, lots of things happen. If it got overturned or something along those lines, grounds for appeal, good for him. You're going right back where you are at the moment, I have a feeling. The Patriots, by the way, you see what they did with Darrell Revis's mom?
I did, yeah.
Darrell Revis... understandably so, he just left to go play for the Jets, for goodness sake. So there's a lot of bad blood between the two franchises. Darrell Revis, whether or not it was because of that or because of timing with OTAs and stuff like that, attended or decided not to attend Robert Kraft's big soiree with Wiz Khalifa.
Did you see him dancing, by the way?
I've not, and I haven't bothered to go look at Tom Brady or anyone else dancing from that. But I'm sure it'll pop up sooner rather than later because it's everywhere out there. It hasn't caught my eye at this point in time. But Darrell Revis indicated, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to go, but I'm going to send my mom because they're giving out the Super Bowl rings, and my mom will be in attendance as my proxy. She will pick up my ring. So she flew to Boston,
mm-hmm.
only to be told after she arrived in Boston, nope, you're not welcome. You cannot come. Those tickets are, quote, non-transferable. What is this? You get it from Ticketmaster? Robert Kraft can let anybody he wants into his house. Obviously, he didn't want to let anyone associated with Darrell Revis into his house. He let his mom fly all the way to Boston and left her out in the cold. And she had to go by the stadium the next day to pick up the Super Bowl ring, which, fine, do whatever you want to do, I
sure.
guess. But
you don't want Darrell Revis' mom at the party. Okay.
What's it going to hurt? It's his mom, dude. What is it going to hurt to have Darrell Revis' mom show up and pick up the Super Bowl ring for Darrell Revis?
I don't know. I wouldn't think it would hurt anything, but I'm not a billionaire.
Right. If I were... there'd be a lot of things I'd do differently, I suppose. But, I don't know. This didn't seem all that big of a deal, to me to let her go and attend it. But, I told you we'd give you an update from Cap, Bold City Cap on Twitter, tweeting out the update on the Tampa situation. Week 5, Jags going down to play the Buccaneers and invading Raymond James Stadium. Here's the update from Cap via Twitter. Says they've sold, the Bold City Brigade has sold 1,378 tickets thus far for the group effort to invade Raymond James. Almost all of the Bold City Brigade seats are full, he says. Let's see. Scrolling down here. We filled up all 200 level options, with the exception of a few here or there. They've opened up more, the Bucks have, in sections 126 and 127. Price is $65 per ticket, as far as that goes, but packages go on sale today, as well as hotels opening up, so they expect another spike in ticket sales to coincide with that, and they will continue, he says, to open up seats as needed. Could push $2,000, right, when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still June, for goodness sakes. You would figure the most hardcore people are among the 1,378, but you got nearly 1,400 people already. I don't think it, put it this way, I would expect several more hundred before it's all said and done, whether they reach 2,000 or not. That's a pretty impressive feat.
Sure.
To go down there en masse and try to take over the pirate ship. I think they should try to board the ship, personally. And it really showed
start
Gene
firing
Deckerhoff
the cannons
with firing
when
that
the Jaguars score.
That's right. Yeah, take over. I imagine you don't have to be in that ship to control that cannon. I imagine there's some central location that that
so take
fires
over
that
the
thing
control
off.
Panel.
It's like you don't have to be behind the video boards here at Everbank to put something on there. I think there's probably a little hub somewhere that controls that thing.
You don't think those are real cannons?
Possibly not.
You don't think there's real pirates?
I think they're possibly not. But I think they should try to board the ship and find out.
On game day, you don't think there's real pirates? They see the Buccaneers score and they're like, I'm ashed.
I think they should all, you know, grow their hair out, tie some kind of teal bandana around their heads and take over, basically. Beat them at their own game down there as the Jaguars beat the ever-living snot out of the Buccaneers on the field right in front of them, coinciding with an improvement to 5-0 on the season. And there you have it. It's a vision for the future, the very near future. So good job by Bold City Brigade. Go to boldcitybrigade.com, of course, for more details. We got invited, we got asked to put the word out, but also got invited to go to see, to participate in, Bold City Brigade St. Augustine chapter OTAs, as they call them. Seems to me that just consists of getting together and probably drinking, right? But, nonetheless, that is an organized team activity for the Bold City Brigade. And they're doing it at Ancient City Brewery this Saturday night. So my question to all you Ancient City, Bold City Brigade members out there, I guess I could ask them directly on Twitter, but I'd rather do it on the radio show that we have access to, is how late you're rolling there? Because yours truly may do a radio show on Saturday nights that ends at 10 o'clock. And if I'm so inclined, if the party's going to continue, it may just be getting started around that time,
right,
Tony. Word has it, yours truly, Tyler Devitt and Lauren Brooks, all tentatively scheduled to try to make an evening of it with the Ancient City faction of the Bold City Brigade.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it too.
I know you're thinking about it, but the rest of us have committed to it. We know, you know, you're kind of late to the party. You've got a lot of options going on out there. You can see Mad Max for the 8th time.
I could. No, I feel like I had something I was supposed to be doing on Saturday. I just can't remember what it is right now.
I think it's making a Jaguar Today road trip.
Drinking
some beers.
Could be.
You know, I got to figure out my situation, seriously, because I told you guys earlier, I'm so paranoid, I will not get a DUI. You'll never catch me having a DUI because I won't drive when I've been drinking. So I got to figure out my transportation situation on Saturday night. I don't do the Uber thing because I've heard despite the fact that we got around pretty well in Phoenix with Lauren Brooks doing the Uber thing at the Super Bowl this year.
Right.
I've heard too many horror stories about Uber smacking you with some ridiculous multi-$1,000 bill, right? So I don't do the Uber thing. Can't be bothered. I don't know if I want to take a taxi at 10 o'clock at night from my house to the other end of town.
Right.
Maybe I do. I don't know. I've actually considered opening up the Jaguars Today after party at one of the little motels right there by Ancient City Brewery, which is off of 16 and 95.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm debating. I'm weighing my options as far as the whole evening goes. But You shouldn't have invited us if you didn't want us to show up, because we may be crashing the party. I do need, from Ancient City West, I need some kind of update on how late the festivities will go on Saturday night. I have a feeling they will not disappoint, right? Minicamp will be over. What's going on? It's Saturday night. Nobody's working the next day.
Right.
I have a feeling they will close it down on Saturday night.
That would be my guess, yeah.
All right. Save just a smidge of that Crown Royal for me. Do they serve that at Ancient City Brewing? I don't know what the craft beer places do. They better. Okay.
I'm sure they got a bar.
Is it BYOB?
Yeah. I'm sure they got a bar.
I would think they have a fully stocked bar. So, all right. Maybe you could check us out this Saturday night and come on out and have, as some would say, fellowship and camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that expression somewhere before. We'll come back. We'll take a look at something that the boys were discussing on the drill this morning about the core of this football team. So put your thinking caps on for that. Question of the day is out there for you in regards to social media. We know a lot of you are into the social media because we get the tweets and the Facebook postings and all that stuff. But which athletes are you into following on social media, or for that matter, you know, anyone involved in the world of sports? Not media people. I'm talking about, you know, coaches, owners, but particularly athletes, and which social media platforms do you use the most to follow those guys? Who are the ones who, or ladies as the case may be, who are the ones who make for good follows and entertaining reading in your timeline? Share your thoughts with us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. By the way, I'm getting this on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Lyft is greater than Uber.
A breaking story here just the last couple minutes as well, involving major sports, not necessarily the NFL.
Then we're not talking hockey.
But corporate espionage going on in the world of sports. And this is a serious story that is being investigated by the FBI. We'll let you know who's involved in that here.
Oh, it's a cliffhanger. Coming back with that and more. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here. Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com, your Tuesday sponsor of Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. The number of the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Jaguars Today here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt with you. This text in, Tony, your reaction requested, please. Quote, this will be the biggest year in Jags franchise history regarding their future, coach, quarterback, and future pertaining to where the franchise will be. If coach, QB, and team does well, they stay. If not, the writing is already on the wall, ..
For what?
To leave, I guess.
Right? So they get... They put pools and those big video boards in there.
They're trying to develop the shipyards.
The owner's trying to develop the shipyards. They already have been voted as the best fan experience in the entire National Football League. I heard this morning on the drill they got an award for being the best international.
Wait. You heard that on the drill. Did you not hear that on Jaguars Today when Mark Lamping sat in here last week and told me that?
No, I wasn't here.
I know.
But they got the award for basically having the best premium seats in the entire world.
In the entire world. Yes.
With what they're doing with the cabanas, and the writing is on the wall, I assume because they play a game a year in London, that means...
The writing's on the wall.
The writing's on the wall. If they were playing 5 games a year in London and 5 games a year here, I would be nervous if I was a Jaguars fan, based on everything that I've heard from the front office and the people that we talk to in the building virtually every day, Mike. I don't see any writing on the wall except that the owner of this team is very committed to making this work in Jacksonville.
Mark Lamping, who was on the show last week, also said that season ticket sales are pacing ahead of last year. They're ahead of their projections for where they are this year. So the fans, despite the lack of wins, continue to respond to the efforts of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the hope that is out there. Now, that doesn't last indefinitely. I get that. It is an important year, I think. They do need to win and be much, much more competitive. But I don't think the question is if they don't win this year, if Gus Bradley ultimately gets fired as head coach of the Jaguars, does that signal doom for the franchise on the First Coast? I think this is a vastly minority opinion at this point in time. And it's kind of nice, though, to single that out. As Mark Lamping said yesterday, he said, you know, I said, what's your greatest accomplishment, or what do you feel the best about that you've been able to get done in the last 3 years? He said, you know, we're not talked about for blackouts, tarps, or moving to L.A. Now, he didn't say moving, period, but that was the storyline 3 years ago. Are they off to Los Angeles?
Well, and the conversation about London isn't nearly what the conversation about L.A. is right now, honestly, in the National Football League. I mean, there's an article up on Pro Football Talk today or yesterday saying that the move to Los Angeles is inevitable.
It's almost a done deal.
Right. I mean,
they just have to name the franchise.
And for 2016, I mean, so the NFL is coming back to Los Angeles.
Next year.
What's happening with London? Who knows? That's way off in the future still, if you ask me.
I will watch it from my brand new Skyline office at the new Shipyards complex,
Absolutely.
Tony, that Shad Khan is going to set me up in. When this all comes to fruition. He's waiting. It's going to be a nice 50th birthday present for me.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad at all.
It's got a few years to get that done.
We mentioned corporate espionage and big-time American sports a few moments ago. No, like I said, it doesn't involve the NFL. It involves
Bob Kraft.
Major League Baseball. And I know we don't talk a lot of baseball here in the program, so we won't spend a ton of time on this. But this is
Red Sox.
This is a huge story. The St. Louis Cardinals are being investigated by the FBI and the Justice Department, that would be of the United States of America, for hacking into the Houston Astros, basically, database, committing corporate espionage against another Major League Baseball team. It apparently stems from the man who became the Houston Astros general manager in 2011. I think it was, or 2012, he became their general manager.
Who that?
Jeff Lunau, I think is how you pronounce
Jeff
his name.
Oh, of course, Jeff Lunau.
But look, we've been watching the Astros for the last couple of years. They're doing things like nobody's ever done it in baseball, as far as tearing it down and trying to build a system. They got the second best record in the American League this year. They're leading the American League West after being a terrible team from a win-loss perspective for the past 2 years. So there are reasons to want to know what the Houston Astros are doing right. That man used to work for the St. Louis Cardinals and then left St. Louis to go to Houston, had a database that they used in St. Louis to do player evaluation, much like he was doing when he got the job in Houston, and apparently they broke into that database, which has access to any of their trade negotiations that they've had over the past handful of years, how they're evaluating players, what they're putting the emphasis on when they are evaluating these players. It's basically a look inside how the entire organization has been running and rebuilt for the Houston Astros. And for it to involve a team like the St. Louis Cardinals, who, along with the New York Yankees, are probably the two franchises in Major League Baseball. It's the Yankees and the Cardinals. For them to be directly involved in something like this is huge news. In Major League Baseball and in the sports world in general.
Well, the thing that puts a smile on my face is the attitude of Cardinal fans that make you think that they invented civility, they invented good sense, they invented intelligence, that they're a cut above. It's the best baseball city in America, Tony. They're the most knowledgeable baseball fans in America. What the hell? What's so hard to have knowledge about, right? Hey, the shortstop ball's hit the shortstop. He throws it to the second base, he throws it over to first. It's a 6-4-3 double play. Wow, I'm brilliant. I mean, seriously, they really love having this opinion of themselves that they're so haughty, they're so above everybody else. I would love it if the whole foundation of their organization is built on a New England Patriots style of going about their business. Cheating right from the outset. Fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. And Deadspin has put up an article where, like, basically this information is being leaked to the world now. Like, everyone's getting a look at what the Houston Astros have been doing, and it's got, like, all their trade rumors. Like, any discussions they've had about trades is now just public information.
That's not the interesting. The interesting part is going to be when they're emailing back and forth saying, that guy's a dog. That guy can't play.
That stuff would be interesting,
too.
Oh,
it's going to come out because it's like the Sony email leaks, right? They're apparently, like, 99 out of 100 pages put you to sleep. But every once in a while, you find a nugget that is worth sinking your teeth into. Thank goodness for internet hackers out there. What would we do without them, Tony?
I know it.
I don't know what they would find if they hacked me. I'm trying to think. Is there anything? Yeah, there probably is. There's something out there for everybody to find on everybody. I'm a flawed person. I don't pretend to be otherwise. Okay? So just going in. When the eventual story leaks, here's what Dempsey's into. Here's what he's been going through in his search engine. Oh, you don't want to know, truly, what I've been going through in my search engine. So if you do, have at it. You know, that's the way it goes. All right. What do we see here? Wanted to touch on the core of this football team. They're talking about this morning on the drill. Who are the five guys? If you could only keep five, like going forward, who would you consider the nucleus of this football team? We've talked about this kind of issue before. I don't know if we've ever phrased it quite like that in a question of the day thing, but it got me thinking about it, about guys you'd have to take. I'd have to have Blake Bortles, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. Even though he hasn't proven anything, he gives you a chance at the most important position to develop into something. I think I would take Aaron Colvin and Telvin Smith on the defensive side of the ball. I think if you're going to go, as Jeff Prosser said, if you're going to go with an offensive lineman, I'd take the best guy. I'd take Linder over Jokel. Balls Davis said Jokel just because of the importance of the position. Give me the best guy, the guy I know is the best. And maybe Parnell turns out to be one of those type guys. And then I think I want an offensive weapon for Bortles, and the question would be, do I want Allen Robinson, do I want Julius Thomas, who's more accomplished as a guy? Robinson's certainly a lot younger. The wide receiver position's pretty important, but I think that's what it would boil down to, that small group of players for me. Am I leaving any glaring...
Well, it's an interesting question because it depends on how you want to look at it. I think there's a different answer for who do I think are the core five guys and who do I think should be the core five guys, right? Because, look, in all honesty, they've had three first-round picks. Those three guys should be core five guys. I mean, if this team is going to succeed on any kind of high level...
How could you pick a guy who just tore his ACL?
I know.
And hasn't played it down,
I know
though.
You can't, but they need those three guys to be core guys. And this is a long-term question to me. This isn't just about 2015. This is about 2016, 17, 18, and beyond.
But let's just, for playing devil's advocate here, let's say Luke Jokel doesn't develop the way we hope he does this year. And the Jags are able to sign a veteran left tackle next year or get a guy in the draft, right, or something. Or maybe, you know, who knows what combination of things play into it. Blake Bortles has to be that guy.
No, Blake Bortles is number one.
I don't think there's any other guy that by himself has to be or the Jags cannot get to where they want to go. Any one individual guy. I mean, look, they're going to play without Dante Fowler as it is this year, right? I mean, they've played without Luke Jokel in the past. He's certainly not earned the reputation of a guy who is deserving of a top two pick in the draft yet. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. We'll find out.
What spot on the offensive line are you most nervous about this year?
Luke Jokel.
Right. Left tackle.
Granted.
Which is, like, for me, that's why I need him to be one of the core five guys. Look, this is a guy they spent the number two overall draft pick on. I know he hasn't lived up to that kind of thing yet. We've talked about how much stronger he's gotten in this offseason. This team needs Luke Jokel to be one of those core guys. I don't think he is right now. I think they need him to be one of those guys.
If he's just middle of the pack? What if he is? I mean, I don't think it's... Let's say he's the 15th best offensive tackle in the league. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it?
It'd be significantly better than what he's been.
That's what I'm saying, though. But to me, he doesn't have to be a star, I guess, is what I'm saying, right? You know, if you got enough other good guys stars in other spots.
Yeah, I don't know that core five to me even means stars. These are the guys they need to be playing at a high level when everything is said and done. That's the core five to me. And Blake Bortles, because he's the quarterback, is the number one guy on that list. I think, for me, Jokel would be a part of it. It's difficult. I think it is one of the offensive skill position guys, and I'd probably lean towards Julius Thomas because he is the new addition and can add so much when they get down in red zone and give them a target that this team really hasn't had that kind of athlete at the tight end position, maybe ever, like they have in Julius Thomas. So he'd probably be one of those guys. And when I look at the defensive side of the ball, I do agree. I think Telvin Smith is certainly one of those core guys because of all the things he can do. He's such a versatile playmaking guy for you. He can rush the passer. He can play coverage. He's around the ball when it's on the ground. And I think because of the development potential of the guy that you feel like you got to steal if he does develop, Colvin could be that type of guy. Those are the guys that I think need to be the core. And who is?
If I'm going forward, I'm not just taking guys who I think need to be. I'm taking guys who I expect to, you know what I mean? Like, give me a guy who I'm pretty sure is going to end up as a really top player at his position rather than give me a guy at a more important position that I'm very shaky on. You know, that's how I'd approach it. If you can only give me five, I'm getting in the lifeboat with guys that I feel like are really the ones that I expect to succeed at a high level. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Kind of for the question today, some offshoot of that. So put your thinking caps on as far as that goes. Get ready for mini camp. Remember, if you're coming out Thursday, jaguars.com/veteran mini camp is where you need to navigate your browser to to get your pass to come in. Absolutely free to attend, but you do have to have that printed out before you get here, or they're going to kindly send you on your way. So please take care of that ahead of time so there's no hard feelings when it's 95 degrees in the shade on Thursday morning. Hope to see you out there. Stop by and say hello to the 1010XL team at the broadcast booth, and maybe tell us what's going on in the field, because we're not going to be able to see much from where we're set up. But we'll be happy to be out there with a lineup of the local media coming through, giving us their impressions on what they've seen in OTAs and minicamp up until this point. Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com, our Tuesday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Show's flying by today. We'll come back, get a look at the fan feedback spotlight. Still time to get in, by the way, on this one, on Twitter, on Facebook, and on the Boston's Restaurant, excuse me, and Sports Bar text line. Who is the athlete or athletes that are must-follows for you on social media, and what platforms do you follow those people out there? Pert just sent in Victor Dukes. It's Victor Dukes 23, by the way, if you want the guy you're talking about. He just said, at Victor Dukes. I had to go searching for him. The kid who established himself as a pretty high-flying dunker in college. Interesting one. I'm looking at some of the video right there, some of the Vine stuff that he's got posted up there. He's got that one big dunk. Does he have anything else? Does he have anything other than that big one, Tyler? Tyler sent me a YouTube clip.
I've never heard of the guy ever, so.
I've seen this dunk before. I've seen it, like, on SportsCenter, but I don't know if he's got any other ones of note. I guess I need to follow Victor Dukes 23 to find out a little bit more. He's Fat Tony, and along with Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. It's a good song, but Hacker likes it better when Simple Man does it. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Bring it to you on Tuesdays. I'm kidding. I don't think they do that smell. They do have her do Simple Man. All right, moving on, Tony. Are we going to have to take texting privileges away from people?
I don't think so.
Is that what this is going to come down to?
Kind of funny.
641-1010 is the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. First, in reference, I assume, to you talking about not having a dynamic presence at the tight end position as we have now in Julius Thomas here in Jacksonville. We got this one. Are you kidding me? Big Sofa was better. Oh, really? Damon Jones is better. He's better than Julius Thomas. I understand. okay. Sure he was. So is Marcell Jensen. No.
Right.
Neither one of those statements is true. And, no. Julius Thomas is certainly the most accomplished. And I think I agree with you. I do agree with you, but I think he is the best athlete that they've had at the position all around. I think he can, is he the best blocker? Well, was Pete Mitchell the best blocker? There are a lot of things. It depends on the type of tight end you are. Dallas Clark wasn't the best blocker.
But that's why keeping Mercedes Lewis is a plus for this football team, because he is a pretty darn good blocker at that position. They can have both those guys in the field. I think it benefits both of them. I'm looking at Damon Jones' career numbers right now, by the way, with back-to-back 12 touchdown seasons for Julius Thomas in the last 2 years, and I get that he's playing with Peyton Manning. Damon Jones, who I thought was a good player who just had his career ended by injury. I mean,
yeah.
it was too short. Caught 11 touchdowns in his career. I mean, it's not the same. That's a guy in 5 years that did that, only caught double-digit passes in one season in the National Football League. His career high was 19 catches in 1999 for 221 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Oh, but he had the cool nickname, Big Sofa.
It was a great nickname.
Are you kidding me, Tony? You're completely wrong about that. Then I got this one. It says, Brain, you're such a turd. Well, at least you called me Brain, I guess. You're such a turd. You hate cheating, but are okay with hacking. Go on vacation forever, please. And he hashtagged the Jaguars Today. Well, thank you for the hashtag. We appreciate that. And vacation, I get paid when I go on vacation. So if you would like to fund me what I make here as a radio host in Jacksonville, Florida, and maybe with a 5% kicker, because I like my job and I'm not going to not show up just for the same money. If you give me 5% over what I'm making right now, I'll go on vacation forever.
Sure.
You know, if you sign me up to, let's say, a 10-year contract to that. I'd be happy to never pollute your airwaves again.
He included the hashtag, too.
You
I
can
like
buy
that.
Me off. That's fine. Hey, you know, maybe there's a little tongue-in-cheek, I don't know, lightheartedness to some of the comments you make. Do we need a sarcasm filter on the program? Apparently we do. Not sure, Tony. But I will also say I am at times morally ambiguous. I may be offended by something in one arena and not offended by it in another. What can I tell you? I'm a human being,
sure.
Right? I just tell you what's on my mind. All I can do is show up and be truthful with you. And in being truthful, I will tell you that sometimes I am known to say things like, hey, love all those hackers out there. Keep up the good work, or something to that effect. More for a funny comment in the moment, Tony. Apparently wasn't that funny. But thank you for calling me Brain. Brain, you're such a turd. What the hell does that mean? Stop it, all right? Twitter or texting privileges revoked for you for the next 10 minutes. Stop it. All right, Tony.
Take that, 553.
That's right. Don't give that number out.
I'm not giving the whole number.
553. You know who we're talking about. All right, Tony, today the question of the day was, which athletes do you like to follow on the social media? What do we get?
Here's what we got from Isaiah: Darnell Dockett, Antonio Cromartie, and Richard Sherman went into cornerback on cornerback crime. From Austin.
Dockett is funny, by the way.
He is really funny. Elbow 70. And Josh Scobie there on Twitter. From Nick, he said The Rock on Instagram. From Joey, hate to admit it, Scobie is very entertaining on Twitter. You tell him I said that, and I'll say I was hacked. From Portal Service, Austin Lane, who is still funny on Twitter. Scobie, Bawanko, that would be Elbow 70, and Chris Long. And from Eric, I like Chipper Jones and Jonathan Cyprian. That's about it. Most aren't too fun to follow.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, we just got Dempsey Fat Tony 2016. I guess they want us to run as the ticket. I'm going to go independent. What do you think?
Just do it.
Me and you. We're be on the Bold City Party. Can we get nominated? Maybe we'll have a caucus on Saturday night down at Ancient City Brewery, and we'll discuss the issues, stadium taxes and such, all the pressing issues that if we ever got to the White House, we would be most concerned with. All that good stuff. For you, I used to follow I still follow Artest. I don't know if he really does much anymore. He used to be pretty zany and out there with the stuff. Ocho Cinco was fun to watch from a distance, you know, to see what kind of hijinks
he
was up to.
Constant on there.
I would imagine. Yeah. So, I don't use Twitter the way a lot of people do. I don't, like, just read my timeline and see what's happening, unless I know something's going on that I need to be updated on in the moment, and then I'll check out what people are saying about it. I more look at my notifications and see what people are asking me or telling me. They're saying, Brain, you are such a turd, is what I've been getting a lot of lately.
I mean, Darnell Dockett's really good.
He is
and
good.
We've even gone to him for time to time just to see what he's saying. Here live on the show. I know he live tweeted when he thought he was going to get pulled over by that policeman on his way to camp. That was funny last year. So Dockett's certainly on that list for me. I enjoy following Richard Sherman because he does get mouthy from time to time. And as we were talking about when the Rams are bringing in the guy to train these guys on how to use social media, I don't like it. I like it when they get a little bit more aggressive on social media than they probably should be getting. But those are the two names that came immediately to mind for me, at least.
There's a funny tweet from at Dr. Malibu, Big Green Pundit. If you're not hacking your opponent's server, you aren't trying. Because that's what they say, right? If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah, I saw something from one of the guys, I think Seth Emerson, who covers the Bulldogs for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who said SEC teams are looking at each other going, can we do this? Do we do this? When they saw this.
Or what's a computer? I don't know. That's only some schools. I'm sure Vandy knows what the computers are for. By the way, is Vandy going to win the baseball, Tony?
They're in good shape right now.
Are they going to just start winning a host of titles in a variety of sports across the board?
I don't know about that. The winner's bracket is the place to be when you're out at the College World Series. They got the walk-off win yesterday. They play again tonight against TCU. If they get that win, then they're certainly in the driver's seat. The Gators, with their loss last night when the Bats went to sleep after having been the most ferocious offensive team in the country for the last 3 weeks, really. The Bats go to sleep at the exact wrong time for the Florida Gators, which puts them in the loser's bracket, which means now instead of having to win one more game to get to the championship series, they got to win three. That's the hell that you put
yourself
in.
Huge difference, yeah.
Yeah, when you get into that loser's bracket. Of course, they're playing a Miami team that knows they had to win four in a row, starting with yesterday, and got the one. They, of course, the Gators beat them pretty badly.
Tony, you take them one game at a time. We know that.
Maybe.
Coach Bradley has told us that, you only take them one game at a time, and you do your job. All right, got this one. Last one on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Maybe the 553 thinks that Brian Sexton hosts this show, and they just misspelled his name. That could be it. I'm going to go with Brain, though. I'm going to go with they meant to say Brain, and that's what I'm going to roll with. Brain, you're such a turd. But I'll pass it along to Brian just in case they thought it was for him.
Right.
Clearly it was for me in some form or fashion. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Johnny O for popping in. Thanks to Kenny Lay and Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com, our Tuesday sponsor of the program. Coming up, XL Primetime. Oh, the shattered state of Hacker's psyche after his beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, who he holds so dear to him, with the list of names running through his head. What is he going to have to say about the Chicago Blackhawks taking home the cup last night? We can only stick around to find out.
Apparently Shad Daddy at practice today.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Out there? Shad, can we talk about this office over at the Shipyards complex, please? Can we get that done? Just call me Brain, all right? Then I'm the guy
call
they call
me
Brain. Just pop on. He's probably up in his helicopter by now, man. He may have taken off by now. I love when Shad flies in on the helicopter just to drop in on practice. It's fantastic. Maybe I would suspect, because knowing how popular he is, I would suspect he might make an appearance at the Open to the Public mini camp on Thursday.
That would be my guess. You know, he always shows up at training camp.
They love him when he's in the house. Are you kidding me? Yep. Shad Khan. All right. So hope to see you all out there. You got 2 days to get it done. Go to Jaguars.com/veteran minicamp to print out that voucher to get you in. Absolutely free to do it, but you have to have it with you when you come out here. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, back at it once again live from Everbank tomorrow morning. XL Primetime is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.